The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. We want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
To baptize several people. I think there's 8 people that are getting baptized. One of those, my daughter. So I'm excited. Ava's really excited. She came up to us yesterday and was like, I want to get baptized. And I'm like, are you sure? And so we kind of talked a little bit about it just to kind of make sure, you know, we're on the same page with it. And she's really excited about it. So, and again, this morning she was asking about it. So, all right, man, I'm excited about that because, man, God is doing something. God is bringing new life. He's bringing people to Himself, and that's always an exciting thing. But that means also we have more work to do, right? Because we need to be closer to God, and we need to be the kind of people that can lead and disciple others. In fact, if you join us on Tuesday nights, a little shameless plug for our Tuesday night Bible study, but if you join us on Tuesday nights, we've been talking a lot about that, a lot about bringing others along in their walk and making sure that they get to experience God and experience growth. And so encourage you guys to be a part of what we're doing on Tuesday nights, and then of course invite folks to come and be with us on Sunday mornings. So we've been in this series called Idols, and I hope that this has been a series that has kind of rocked your world in some ways. I want to say when we dig into these series where we kind of work our way through the Bible or through a particular book of the Bible, I feel like we're learning, you know, we're kind of growing together. And then when we talk about things like this, I feel like we're kind of getting spanked every Sunday. I don't know if you feel the same way, but for me, as I'm preparing, I keep running into these things where I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm about to share a message that's close to my heart and talk about things that I've wrestled with. And so I hope you've been finding that too, because if you've been finding that these are things you wrestle with, then I know that we're on the same page together and we're probably pursuing the right things. So the more we hear about what God expects of us, the better we can be in our walk with Him. And so today's message, as Peter mentioned, is called Climbing the Ladder. We're going to talk about the idol of success and approval. Little tagline there, when being on top is more important than being faithful. And my friends, many times what we're accomplishing here on earth is sometimes the priority for us. And so that's what we're going to be focused on today. So I want to start out the way we did the last 3 times we gathered together, where we just go over the definition of idolatry. And then from there, I want to do a little bit of a recap on what we've talked about so far, in case you're here for the first time today and maybe you haven't been with us in the first 3 lessons or 4 lessons, actually. So idolatry. First, you have to kind of, if you, in your mind, if you generate this image of like a statue, when you think of the word idol, and you think of like this figurine, right, that people bow down and worship, that is an idol, but that's not necessarily what idols look like in our lives. And so I'm asking you to kind of remove that image from your mind and replace it with this definition here. So idolatry is when anything good or bad is elevated above our relationship with God. It's when we look to anything other than Him to give us fulfillment, identity, joy, or security. And so a lot of things fall into that category. A lot of things can fall into that category. And so we've been kind of working our way through this series and talking about some of those things. So let me give you guys a quick recap of what we talked about so far. From weeks 1 through 4. Week 1, it was kind of an intro into our series, and we talked about, it was called No Other Gods. We learned that idols aren't just statues. They're anything that takes God's rightful place in our hearts. When we give ultimate loyalty to something other than Him, we drift from intimacy with God. And we talked about how we cannot have that connection and that communion with God if there's something standing between us and Him. Week 2, was scroll or seek. And Christian Shelton shared that message with us. We saw how the endless pool of content can steal our attention and affection from God. What we feed our minds will either deepen our devotion or distract us. And so we discovered that we have this constant flow of information, and it can become an idol. It can become something that we are constantly consuming and pursuing, and it can distract us from what God has for us. Week three was selfie vibes. We talked about the idol of self, where life becomes all about my image, my brand, my glory. But Jesus calls us to die to ourselves so that he can live through us. So if you remember, we talked about how we all have this image we want to project of ourselves. And it's an image we discovered that we want other people to worship. We want other people to see us in a certain light and see us in a certain way. And that's more important to us at times than the way that God sees us. Week four, we discussed, it was called Chasing the Next Upgrade. We confronted the idol of stuff, the belief that one more possession will satisfy. But we discovered that true contentment isn't about accumulation, it's about knowing that Christ is enough. And so we talked about the temptation. Oh, there it is. Thanks, Peter. Talked about the temptation to want to bring stuff to ourselves, to own more things, to have more money, to have just get the creation instead of the creator, and how that affects our relationship with God. All right, so each week we've kind of peeled back the layers of these idols that sneak into our hearts, and whether it's content, whether it's self, whether it's stuff, all those things are distracting us from really what God wants of us. And so today, we're going to be talking about something that's just as sneaky, the pursuit of success and approval. I'm going to start with this statement right here. Ambition and recognition can become altars where we sacrifice our time, relationships, and faith. And the first thing I want to talk about is how we place, or I place, my fame over God's glory. My fame over God's glory. Easy for us to do, and we don't even realize that we're doing it at times. So just to intro into this, I want to take us way back to the beginning, back to Genesis. Do you remember the story of the Tower of Babel? After the flood, people gathered and decided to build a city with a massive tower so great that they would be famous. And so all the people gathered together, and they wanted to create this thing. This is their statement. This is kind of like their motto from Genesis 11, verse 4. Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. When I was a little kid, and I think maybe my Bible story picture book had something to do with this too, I thought that they were building a tower so that they could get to heaven. Just in my mind, I was thinking, you know, maybe it's like Jack and the Beanstalk, kind of like that. Maybe that story mixed into my childlike mind. And so I imagined, oh, God shut down this project because he didn't want these people like coming into heaven when they weren't supposed to be there. But the reality is, what was happening is God saw their prideful ambition and how they were united in rebellion against him. And instead of glorifying God, they wanted to glorify themselves. And so an entire people were saying, we are the greatest, we are the greatest, and basically God is nothing to us. And so what happens? God confuses their language, and he scatters them across the earth, halting that project. And this is how we have developed all the languages of the world. This is the beginning of that. Which, by the way, this biblical story is where we get the word Babel from. The English word Babel, what it just means to do, you know, just kind of talk without really making sense or without really going anywhere with your narrative, right? The word Babel. And maybe you've heard that language learning tool called Babel, right? That's also where they get the name. They get it from this story. And so the whole idea is that God confused their efforts to elevate themselves above himself. Whenever we chase success or recognition to build our own name, it collapses. Only when we live to exalt God's name will our work endure. We put a lot of effort and energy into building our brand, our career, our lives. But if we're not building that thing for God's honor, for his glory, guess what? God's going to halt the project. God's going to say, no, this isn't going to work. This is why God tells us in Jeremiah 9, 23 through 24, let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. He's speaking right to a hard truth about our human nature. I think the modern day equivalent to the Tower of Babel is just this grind culture, you know, where people bragging about working 80 hours a week so that they can prove themselves, so that they can reach and accomplish their goals. They're building something, but it's for their glory and not for God's. I say they, you know, as if I'm not one of those people. I've been guilty of that. I've been guilty of working so hard at building something and creating something, and sometimes even setting God aside while I work on my project so that I can receive some attention and some recognition from what I've created. But the reality is, I'm working on the wrong thing. See, here's the thing. If your ladder is leaning on the wrong wall, every step up is really a step down. Somehow your pride convinces you that you're making progress, that you're moving forward, and the reality is you're moving backwards when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to being the person that God has created you to be. And so we have to be careful about everything that we invest ourselves in. Pride will deceive us, will trick us into thinking that the things that we're pursuing are noble and good and important until we reach the point where that thing that we're creating is more important to us than God, whether it's our career, whether it's a brand, or whether it's just the goals that we set in this life. Tim Keller said this about pride. He said, pride is the carbon monoxide of sin. It silently and slowly kills you without you even knowing. Wow. The carbon monoxide of sin, right? They call the carbon monoxide the silent killer, right? Because it's a gas that can't be detected, and it's so toxic to you. And pride is the same way. It'll sneak up on you. You won't even realize that your pride is taking over. And pretty soon, your whole life is all about you and what you're trying to build. So with your pride trying to deceive you, how do you know that you might be on the wrong track? What do you have to ask yourself? This question, what would change in my goals if God's glory mattered more than my reputation? How different would my goals look? What would I need to change in my goals if God's glory was more important than my glory, my reputation? Which brings us to the next thing we need to discuss, and that is when we are seeking applause over God's approval, the applause of men over the approval of God. See, here's the thing, my friends. Living for the applause of men keeps us from living a life of service towards others. That's the reason that God has left us here on earth, is to serve others. And we glorify and honor God through our service towards others. But if we live for the applause of men, who are we serving? We're serving ourselves. And ultimately, we're rejecting God's glory. Paul made this really clear when he wrote in Galatians 1:10, he said, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. See what he's saying there? He's saying, basically, I disqualify myself from being a servant of God if I'm seeking the approval of man. If I'm just doing it for the attention, if I'm just doing it for the applause, guess what? I'm not actually a servant of Jesus. I'm a servant of myself. And then Jesus reminds us in Matthew 23:12, he says, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Man, you know who this verse reminds me of? Probably not the same person it reminds you of, but I think of Napoleon Bonaparte. If you ever read about him or learned about him and realized what a narcissistic guy he was. Now, he was brilliant. He was intelligent. He was an incredible strategist. But he was building this empire, and he was having these endless military victories. But in large part, he was doing it just to secure his own fame, his own reputation. And that became more and more obvious, because after 15 years of just victories, no defeats, he would push his soldiers, he would push his army to their limits just so that he could receive the credit for it. there was a battle called the Battle of Aspern-Essling, and Napoleon had just won all these strings of victories, and so he was feeling really good about himself. Not feeling good about his army, but feeling good about himself, his own military intelligence, and his own ability to strategize. And so they were fighting against the Austrian army, and they came right up to the bank of the Danube. By the way, I keep wanting to say the Danube River, but Danube means river, so that would be like saying river, river. So they came up to the bank of the Danube, and his military did not want to cross. His generals were like, we shouldn't cross over because we're going to be in Austrian territory. We're going to be on their home turf, and they've got a pretty sizable army. And so we pushed them back. We should probably stay right here. But Napoleon's like, no, advance, always advance, never retreat. We're not quitting here. And so he told his army, cross the Danube and continue in victory. And what ends up happening? This becomes the first significant battlefield defeat for Napoleon. His obsession with proving his own brilliance ended up costing the lives of so many men. In fact, 23,000 men died that day in battle. Check this out, though. Napoleon had it recorded in the history books, or his history books, that only 4,000 men died. This is how prideful he was. He didn't want to see it as a loss, even though it was an incredible loss. He still wanted to promote it as a victory so that he could look good. And so he's like, oh yeah, we only lost 4,000 men. And his men knew the truth. They lost 23,000 men. My friends, chasing applause or reputation can lead us to make decisions that compromise wisdom, integrity, and the welfare of others. When we're chasing after the next big thing, we're chasing after what is going to be our own building, our own creation. What ends up happening? We end up making decisions that compromise, maybe not so much our standards, but they can certainly compromise the welfare of the people around us. And you've seen it over and over again. You've seen people step on other people so that they can get that promotion, so they can get to that next place in their goal or whatever achievement they're after. You've seen the way they could care less if people around them fall down or get hurt, as long as they get to that place where they're trying to go to. And you might say to yourself, yeah, that's the way the world works, right? It's dog eat dog, right? That's just how it is out there in the world. You know, people are egotistical, and they're pursuing something, and they don't care who gets in their way. But you never find that in the church, right? That's not going to happen right here amongst the body of believers. We love each other. We serve each other. You would never see that, right? Well, you may be surprised. You may be surprised to find some people trying to climb the ladder within church. Now, let me just say this. At Remnant Church, there's really no ladder to climb. Since nobody pays me, you could take my job, and it would be okay, right? I wouldn't lose any money. And so there's really no ladder to climb here. But people have used church to promote themselves, to climb the ladder, to get that next promotion, to get the recognition. Some people just want to be up front. They want people to hear their voice. And they don't care who they have to step on. They don't care who has to be that rung in the ladder in order for them to get to the place where they want to be in ministry. I've experienced that myself. I've had people step on me so that they can get to where they want to be. And I was totally blind to it. I was totally naive, didn't realize it was happening, because I'm just like, oh man, we all love each other. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I actually even had a partner in ministry that used me, that stepped on me so that he could get to the place where he wanted to be in ministry. And I didn't realize until after it happened, I'm like, oh my goodness, we're climbing the ladder in church. My friends, this is not what God has intended for us. This is not the life that God wants you to live. Whether you're doing this in work, whether you're doing this in amongst your friends, whether this is something you're doing in ministry, in church, this is not how God wants us to live. We're called to serve and live for each other. We're not called to use each other so that we can get what we want. And that's exactly what is happening. Again, verse in Matthew 23:12 says, "For those who exalt themselves will be humbled." God will not bless you. God will not bless what you're doing if that's the way you operate. And Paul warns us in Galatians 6:7-8. He says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. God will not bless you and what you're doing if you use others to get to the top. We need to recognize this. The applause of man fades fast, but the approval of God lasts forever. As Christians, we live for an audience of one, right? The one person that we have to approve, the one person that we have to be acceptable to is God. He's really the only one. But in doing that, in presenting ourselves to God and saying, God, this is who I want to be, the person that you've created me to be, we have to fall in line with God's guidelines. We have to do what God is calling and asking us to do. And God wants us to serve and love each other. That's the thing that God is expecting of us. So, A.W. Tozer said it this way. He said, what God knows about me is more important than what others think about me. What God knows about me is more important than what others think about me. You don't need to impress the people around you. You need to be genuine about who you are. You need to be transparent about your faults, about your flaws, and you need to serve each other. That's the secret here. Test whether you struggle with the idol of approval by asking yourself this question. When I make decisions, do I consider what pleases God, or do I first think about what will impress others? Am I considering what is most pleasing to God, or am I just trying to impress the people around me? So how do we break free from the idol of approval or success? We need to understand this. True greatness is found in Christ. True greatness is found in Jesus. Here's the thing, and I want you guys to misunderstand this, but God doesn't condemn ambition, but he redefines greatness as humility and serving others. So God doesn't want you to have zero ambition, zero motivation. He doesn't want you just to be passive about life. But what he does expect of you is humility and loving and serving others. Because if we are ambitious about doing that, then we're ambitious about doing what God has called us to do here on earth. So we need to figure out that this life is not about me becoming great, but how I can reflect the greatness of God. I don't want to become the better person so that people will admire Jeremiah. I want to become the better person because that's the person that God is asking me to be. That's the life that God is asking me to step into, and so I'm doing it for him. And in the process of doing what God is calling me to do, I'm loving and serving others. You're not going to chase success the way the world does if you're a follower of Jesus. In fact, Jesus said this himself. He said, but among you, it will be different. Okay, talking about the world standards, he's like, no, but among you believers, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man, that's Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus is saying, follow my example. Look at my purpose, my reason for being here on earth. It wasn't so that I could come and exalt myself. It's so that I could come and lay down my life for those that I love. Jesus gives us the ultimate example of what it truly means to follow after God's calling. And my friend, if we're going to do the same thing, we need to take on the same attitudes that Jesus had. Paul repeats this sentiment in Philippians 2:3. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. What is selfish ambition? It is when the thing that motivates you is so that you can get attention, so that you can get the glory. And that's not to be a part of our lives as believers. In fact, we should elevate others instead of trying to elevate ourselves. What can we do to elevate others in our lives? Because I need you guys to understand something, because the world is out there chasing success and they want you to chase success. And it doesn't mean that you cannot be successful in life, but if you're going to be successful in the eyes of God, you're going to be serving others. And so I think of an example of someone who's successful, maybe by the world's standards, but they're doing it God's way. And so God is being glorified. I think of Truett Cathy. He just passed away in 2014. He was the guy that built one of the most successful fast food chains, Chick-fil-A, right? They're the third largest restaurant chain in the U.S. by total sales, and they lead the industry in per restaurant sales, which means that in any given day, a Chick-fil-A restaurant makes more than any McDonald's or any Starbucks. They are one of the most beloved fast food restaurants. Here's their corporate purpose: to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that is entrusted to us, and to have a positive influence on all who come into contact with Chick-fil-A. That's their mission statement. It's a fast food restaurant. You guys know Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays, right? There's a reason for that. Truett Cathy decided they wouldn't be open on Sunday. I actually had a couple reasons for that. One was he wanted to honor God. It's the day where people should be in church worshiping God. But also, he wanted his employees to be in church. He wanted his employees to have a guaranteed day off. And so he said, we're not open on Sundays. It's estimated that Chick-fil-A loses $1.2 billion a year in foregone revenue by being closed on Sundays. That's a lot of money. Imagine that, giving up that much profit so that you could honor God and honor the people that work for you. True Cathy said this. He said, nearly every moment of every day, we have the opportunity to give something to someone else. Our time, our love, our resources. I have always found more joy in giving when I did not expect anything in return. This doesn't sound like one of the most successful guys that ever lived, right? But understand that his success was not based on trying to climb the ladder. His success was based on serving others, loving others. When your success is based on giving and loving others, God can bless what you do. Now, I'm not going to say God is going to make you rich. Okay, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying if you love and serve people the way God wants you to do, that all of a sudden you're going to have all this money. You know, you're going to have all this revenue simply because you love and serve others. No, I think God has a place, specific place, time, and purpose for every single one of us. And the only way we discover that is by following him, doing what he's called us to do. But know this, God doesn't measure success by how high you climb, but by how well you love those around you. It doesn't matter if you get to the top of the ladder, if you're all alone and you've abused the people around you, the people in your life. True success is loving others, serving others. Rick Warren said it this way. He said, the way you think about success will determine how you live your life. The most successful people are not those who achieve the most, but those who serve the most. I don't know about you guys, but I want to be a successful person, but not a successful person in the eyes of the world. I don't want to be the guy at the top of the ladder. I don't even mind being the guy that's just holding the ladder so somebody else can climb. So quickly and practically, I want to give you three steps that will help you defeat the idol of success. Here they are. The first, check your motives. Before chasing a goal, ask, am I doing this for God's glory or for my own? Anything you set out to pursue, ask yourself what your motive is for doing that thing. Do I want to glorify God, or do I want to glorify myself? Number two, serve quietly. Do something kind or helpful without posting, sharing, or seeking credit. Let God's well done be enough. A lot of times we do stuff just because we want to be recognized. In fact, have you ever done something nice for somebody and they didn't recognize you and you just felt like, oh man, that was a waste? Like, why did I do something nice if no one recognized me, no one thanked me? Man, that is the wrong attitude to have. Serve quietly. And then the third thing is celebrate others. When someone else is recognized or succeeds, sincerely encourage them instead of competing, especially if that person accomplishes something in the same arena that you're trying to accomplish something. That is probably the hardest thing, right? Someone is doing better than you at the thing that you're pouring all your energy into. What do? Figure out a way to, like, you know, sabotage them? Do you try to just try your hardest to be better than them? No. What about congratulating them? What about saying, good job? What about saying, man, you knocked it out of the park. You did a great job. Even if it, you know, here's the perception. We think that if we tell somebody else they're doing a good job, that somehow that's a reflection on us. That somehow we're actually saying, oh, you're better than me, I suck, you know. But that's not the reality. That's when you encourage somebody else by telling them, hey, great job, what are you doing? You're lifting them up. You're elevating them. You're doing what God has called you to do. You're serving somebody. You're loving somebody. Here's the bottom line, my friends. Stop climbing for attention and start serving for eternity. Because recognize, everything you do for God here on earth is going to last. That is storing up treasure in heaven. You can't take anything with you. We talked about that last week and the week before. We can't take anything with us. And so everything we do here on earth for God is the thing that will last for all eternity. So stop trying to get attention and start serving the people around you. Oswald Chambers said it this way. He said, the test of a man's life is not found in success or failure, but in faithful service to God and others. That's what I want my life to look like. I don't want people to say, oh, Jeremiah, man, he was really good at that one thing. Or if they do say he was really good at that one thing, I want that one thing to be, he was really good at loving others. He was really good at serving other people. Those are the people I admire the most. The people that represent Jesus really well by loving and serving people the way Jesus did. So this week, as you consider how you can begin to dismantle the idol of success and approval, ask yourself these two questions. The first one is this. How can I redefine success in my life around serving others instead of myself? This is a change in your mindset, right? No longer viewing success as getting that promotion, but instead recognizing that it's all about serving others. How can I redefine success around serving others instead of myself? And then this one, you already saw it. How can my gifts work or influence be used to lift others up instead of promoting myself? So you may be good at something. You may be doing well at something. How can you use that particular thing that you're doing well to lift others up? How can you use the platform that you've been given to exalt others, to serve others? This is a surefire way to set your priorities right when it comes to this idol of success or this idol of approval. And we're all guilty of it, my friends, because we all want to look our best. We all want to look good. We all want to accomplish our goals, right? If we're not reaching our goals, we feel like, oh, man, I didn't do what I was meant to do. Well, newsflash, maybe you weren't meant to do that. Maybe you were meant to represent Jesus in the life of someone else. Maybe you're meant to serve the people around you, to love the people around you. Maybe that's what success looks like in God's eyes. Would you guys bow with me in prayer? Father, thank you. Thank you, first of all, for identifying in our hearts this thing, this desire to promote ourselves, to have recognition, to have the applause of others. God, we know that spirit is not of you and it's not who you want us to be. And however that looks in our lives, maybe for some of us it's not so obvious. Maybe it's just a subtle feeling that we have in our lives of needing to be better and needing to accomplish more and needing to have recognition. But maybe for others of us, we've put a lot of energy into building who we are, and it's been all about our glory. Wherever we're at in this journey, Father, I pray that you would meet us right where we're at today and that you would help us to align our hearts with you. God, help us to recognize what we're doing wrong and show us how to fix it. God, help us to look at the example of your son, Jesus, as he came to this earth to serve others and to lay down his life as a ransom. That is success in your eyes, Father, and I pray that that would become success in our eyes as well. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning. Maybe you're here and this is something you wrestle with. Maybe you've been trying to climb that ladder. Maybe there was a point where you really didn't care what it took, as long as you could have that recognition, that applause. You could feel significant in some way. If this is where you're struggling, this is something you struggle with, God is asking you to surrender that to him. Dismantle that idol. Take it down. Help God redefine what it means to be successful. And that is to love and serve others the way Jesus did. And maybe God will bless you with other stuff. But even if that doesn't happen here on earth, you're storing up treasure in heaven. So if that's you, if that's what you're struggling with right now, and you would ask, would you just pray for me? Would you just lift up your hand? Just lift up your hand. I will pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. God, you see these hands here. God, you know these hearts. You know their desire is to dismantle this idol of success or recognition that's beginning to be built up. And so I pray, Father, you give them the strength to do that, that you would help them to rearrange their priorities, whatever they need to do, Father, to put you first and to put others first. Because that's what you did when you sent your son Jesus to die for us. We want to live that kind of life. We love you, God. Please do this in us. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. I'll be in the back if you guys need any more prayer. Love you guys.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You've thought of us before.